Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's official. The left-wing meltdown has begun. We predicted it was going to happen, and it's happening right before our very eyes. Our very eyes. Yeah, folks, you see, what comes around goes around. And if you've been waiting for this, you deserve to enjoy it. And I'm enjoying it. I am unapologetically enjoying the left breaking down. And I'll tell you why I'm enjoying it. Because they're victims of their own desire for power. And this is what happens. This is exactly what happens when you push things too far. Now, you may ask, well, what do you mean by this? Well, let's just start way back, shall we? Anybody remember Michael Avenatti? He was a lawyer, a very sleazy lawyer for Stormy Daniels. And he was the hero of the left. As a matter of fact, CNN and MSNBC had him on every single night talking about how he was going to destroy Donald Trump for having an affair with his client Stormy Daniels and signing the NDA agreement and this, that, and the other thing, and how Trump was this and Trump was that. Well, it turns out he's a wife beater. Turns out he's an extortionist who tried to extort Nike. He's currently in prison. And guess what we find out now? We find out that way back in 2006, before Donald Trump had ever even considered running for president, Michael Avenatti said he was concocting a scheme to dupe the Trump estate out of a whole bunch of money because he hadn't signed his NDA agreement, officially signed his NDA agreement, which left him open to legal action, and that they could drain a lot of money from him. Told people, bragged about how he was going to basically extort money. You know, the guy who's in jail for extortion. You know, the guy who CNN said, you'd make a really good president. You'd make a really good candidate. That guy. Victim of his own greed. And now he's rotting in jail. Now let's go over to Fannie Willis, or Fawny Willis. Might want to add a W to that name if he wants to pronounce it that way. Anyway, Fawny Willis gets on the stand as if she is literally on, a hip-hop television show and says, talk to the hand. I don't need no man for this, and I don't need you telling me lies, and I ain't trying to hear that, and all kinds of other things, and acts as unprofessional as she can possibly act, and thinks she's just going to get away with it. And you know what? There are some people who say, well, she still did get away with it. She's still on the case. Let me explain something to you. Her career's finished. She's done. She's finished. She's a joke. She got exposed. This judge did probably Trump the biggest favor he could do by leaving her on the case, because now her credibility is zero. And everybody knows her credibility is zero. So nothing's going to happen here. By the way, the judge threw out eight counts. Eight of the most serious counts already been thrown out. She's left holding the bag with nothing in it to flounder and hope that, against hope, that one of her allies in the justice system will somehow find it in their heart to agree with her and give her a W, a very small W, because nothing's going to happen to Trump. We then go to Letitia James, who ran on a campaign. I don't know what Donald Trump did, but if you elect me, I'll find something that he did, and I'll bring down his empire. If you're voting for me, know this. I will find something to bring down Donald Trump's empire. Well, that's Marxist. You know, show me the person, I'll find a crime. That's not the way the legal system works. The way the legal system works is you see the crime and then you find the person. Not according to Letitia James. According to Letitia James, you find the person you don't like, and then they'll find a crime that they can charge him with. And that's what they did with such a ridiculous law that no one has ever been charged with in the history of New York City, and that every single solitary person who deals in real estate does on a regular basis, and we're going to charge them with it. And they found their right judge, some buffoonish-looking, perverted judge who's already been caught hawking women in a young women in a gym, who says, I don't like Donald Trump, and I get to be the judge, and I get to say all kinds of mean things about him, and he can't do anything, because I'm the judge. And I say, your property's only worth $18 million, and you owe us $450 million bond. Aha, I'm the boss. Well, you find out you're not the boss. That was smacked down out of the sky, wasn't it? Down to $173 million. Which isn't even half, which proves that your ruling was politically based. Never in the history of New York has such a huge bond been destroyed and reduced so quickly. Beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was exorbitant, it went against the Eighth Amendment, and everyone knows it. So now Letitia James and this judge have been exposed for exactly what they are. Political pundits disguised as authority figures. But their authority is not absolute, as they found out. And now Letitia James is left with egg on her face, saying, I don't know what happened. I don't know. And this judge, this weirdo, that doesn't even belong sitting on a bench, maybe in a park bench, hawking children, that's about it, to realize, my ruling means nothing. You're a little man who got a little bit of power and thought you'd play God. And you got smacked down. See, this is what happens, folks. And now you see CNN and MSNBC, and they are literally having a meltdown. There's a guy on there probably no older than I am. So it's not like he's an old-fashioned, you know, hard dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's just some young Democrat who's like, this is Donald Trump. I don't get it. He has his own set of laws. He just no one can seem to pin anything on him, and I just don't understand it. That's because he didn't do anything, you halfwit. What the hell's the matter with you? He doesn't have his own set of laws. You tried to literally give him his own set of laws to persecute him. And you found out, not going to fly. It's not going to fly. So now you deal with it. You deal with the fact that your prosecutors lied. You deal with the fact that your judges were corrupt. You deal with the fact that you threw everything in the world at Donald Trump hoping to stop him because you knew he absolutely couldn't lose to the decrepit old man that you've decided to put your money behind. And you lost. You lost. Trump won. When they asked Donald Trump, what are you going to put up for bond for $175 million, Donald? What do you got for collateral for the $175 million, Donald? Hoping against hope that Donald Trump would say, well, I'm going to have to sell one of my properties or I'm going to have to mortgage something. Donald Trump turned around and said, cash. You know, the ones that they were saying on MSNBC and CNN, oh, his new nickname is going to be Broke Don. We broke him. We took all of his money away. We take his money away. We take his power away. You communists. I don't understand how people do not see that this is communism 101. Find me a man who has too much power and we cannot control. And then find me a way to control him by using the law against him, even if we have to usurp the actual law itself, even if we have to strip him of his finances, even if we have to take everything from him. That's communism. They found the one man they couldn't buy, the one man they couldn't bribe, the one man they couldn't threaten, and they can't deal with it. Because they clearly understand, taking a look at these polls, there's no amount of cheating, there's no amount of fudging the numbers, there's no amount of write-in votes that's going to save you. You're done. Okay? You're finished. The game is damn near over. And the Democrats know it, and now they're in full panic mode. And they're being exposed to what they really are because they're being forced to be exposed to what they really are. Professional idiot Jon Stewart gets on his show and says, I don't understand how anybody says this is a victimless crime. Let me explain to you how Trump overvaluing his property is a victimless crime. Well, number one, John, he didn't overvalue it. You see, I don't know if you understand how business works, but let me explain to you, oh, millionaire times 100, who obviously doesn't understand business. If my house is worth $375,000, $400,000, and I go to the bank and say my house is worth $375,000 to $400,000, can I get a $375,000 to $400,000 loan? They're going to say, no. That's not the way it works. We'll come and evaluate your house, and then we'll give you about half, maximum, from a loan. Maybe a little more if you're a really good risk. Do you think that Deutsche Bank did not send somebody out to look at Mar-a-Lago and clearly understood how much that was worth? And then he says, well, but you see, here's why. Donald Trump was only paying taxes on this amount of money, which is far less than he valued Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, John, that's the way it works. See, the government values your property and how much you have to pay in taxes on that property. That's a government assessor who does that. A bank assessor is not a government assessor. And here's why. Because if I bought Graceland and decided I was going to live in it, it's not going to be worth as much as when Elvis was living in it. You understand? So the government don't care. The government's like, well, the property's the property, the tax is the tax. Doesn't matter whether Elvis is living in it or Marcus Kane is living in it. This is how much it's worth. But the banks do care. And the banks say, well, this would be a very good investment for us. If he ever defaulted on the loan, we could certainly sell this for X amount of dollars. So no. John, there is no victim. Donald Trump was paying the taxes that were assessed by government. Oh, and by the way, John, when people looked into your past, guess what they found out? You sold your townhouse for $17 million. Guess what the tax assessed value of your property was, John? 1.6. So according to Letitia James, John Stewart should be behind bars. John Stewart should be brought up on charges. John Stewart wasn't paying his fair share of taxes. He's paying his taxes on $1.7 million, when in fact, apparently, his property is worth $17 million. That's what he sold it for. See, but we don't live in that kind of country, John. If somebody has a baseball card that's worth $500 and I feel like paying $2 million for it, I get to do that. Okay? If I own a pawn shop and somebody comes in with a $400 guitar and I decide to make him a loan of $40,000, I get to do that. That's called free enterprise. This bank took a hard look and said, we are going to loan Donald Trump this money based upon this estate. They got all their money back plus interest. So no, John, there is no victim to the crime. You just can't take the fact that Donald Trump used the same tactics that you and all your elite friends use. But he's not on your side. I love how they expose themselves while trying desperately, tripping over themselves to try to expose Donald Trump for doing the very things that they do all the time. All the time. Kevin Leary from Shark Tank said there's not a soul. There's not one businessman who don't do this. I mean, this is common practice. Who do you know that goes to a bank and says, well, I know that I pay this much in taxes on the property, and they've assessed it at this, but maybe you could give me a loan about a third of that? No, you always value your property as high as you can based on many conditions, not just property. Not just property. Don't you understand? What's a baseball uniform worth? A few $100s, right? How much did it cost to manufacture? I don't know, $100. What are you going to buy them for? A couple $100? All right. How about if, one of the star players from some team wore that all year? What do you think that baseball uniform's worth? So the assessed value, based on what it's worth, has nothing to do with what its market value is. Do you understand? Apparently, John Stewart doesn't understand. Folks, John Stewart does understand. They think you don't. I've told you this from the day I started this show. What these people do, these left-wing pundits who pretend to be journalists, who pretend to be opinion people, who pretend to be comedians, what they try to do is to make believe they don't get it either because they think you don't. They think you're sitting home somewhere saying, yeah, how come Trump didn't pay taxes on that much money if that's how much money he borrowed from it? Hey, that ain't fair. We're not that dumb, John. I know you think all your constituents and people who believe what you believe are dumb. But they're not. See, they're the elite. We're on television. We get to talk. Therefore, when we say something, we can fool you by pretending we don't understand when clearly we do understand, but we know you're too stupid to. When are you going to wake up and realize they're treating you like little children? We'll tell you what to think, peon. We'll plant the seed in your head, and you'll think exactly what we think, even though we really don't think it, ha ha ha, and we'll go to our cocktail parties and laugh about how stupid our viewers are. That's what they're doing to you, because they all understand very clearly what happened. If you think for 1 minute all of these well-educated people do not understand that Letitia James' indictment of Trump was politically motivated, totally absurd, that $18 million for Mar-a-Lago estate is ridiculous when literally, there are houses a third the size bordering it that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. By the way, the CNN said the quiet part out loud because when they were so delighted that, oh boy, Letitia James is going to get to see some property. Trump's properties are going to be taken. Isn't that wonderful? Just like communist Russia. One of the lawyers said, oh yes, I mean, yeah, just think of it. She could seize Mar-a-Lago. That's got to be worth a couple of $100 million. Oh! Is that what it's worth? Well, according to a judge in New York, it's only worth 18. You wouldn't want to seize an $18 million property in lieu of a $450 million debt, would you? You phonies. You exposed yourself. Because in the heat of the battle, these people aren't smart. They're ideologues. They don't really have any facts. They're just ideologues. So they're delighted to say, Trump's just $18 million, and then they think they're going to seize it. Oh, boy, we got a $200 million bonanza. You idiots. You fools. So you're all exposing yourselves for exactly what you are. You see, the difference is, while we're being told, if you're Trump supporters, if you're MAGA, you're in a cult. No, we're not in a cult. And I'll tell you why we're not in a cult and you are. Because I can take a look at Joe Biden leaning over to a little girl who's clearly about 6 years old and says, how old are you, honey, 14? And when the right wing says, Joe Biden's so senile, he thinks a six-year-old's a 14-year-old, I can get on the show and say, he was joking. He knows she wasn't 14. He was making a joke. You can't. When Donald Trump says, You know, there's going to be bloodshed. Clearly talking about the auto industry. Anyone with an IQ above a radish clearly understands that the other end of that sentence, he was saying in the auto industry. You run to the nearest microphone and say, he was talking about violence in the streets. There's going to be bloodshed if he's not elected. You know that's not what he meant, but you can't say it. See, I can defend Joe Biden. When someone says something that is not true about Joe Biden, I can say, that's not true. Joe Biden didn't think that little girl was 14. Clearly was joking with her. You can't stand up and say, wait a minute, guys. Donald Trump clearly was not talking about violence in the street when he said there's going to be a bloodbath. He was talking about a bloodbath in the auto industry. You can't do that because you're in a cult. That's the problem. We're not in a cult. I can get on the show and say, I think Donald Trump appointed some very poor people in his first administration. And if and when he gets in again, and I believe he will, he'll be much wiser this time because he appointed some people who did not have this country's best interests at heart, nor had his best interests at heart. I can do that. You can watch Joe Biden literally say he talked to dead people and say, that's normal. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. You can watch Joe Biden fall upstairs, not downstairs, upstairs, and say he's in perfect shape. But when Donald Trump has dress shoes on and is walking down a steel ramp at West Point in the rain, you ever try to walk with dress shoes in the rain on a steel ramp? Try it sometime. It's like ice skating. And he's being very cautious. You say, look at the way Donald Trump's walking. He's not well. He can barely walk. But Joe Biden's okay. And then you're telling me that we're in a cult? When guys in their late 30s, early 40s are crying on CNN, Donald Trump has a day. He's like, he's just bulletproof. Nobody can do anything to him. He's the luckiest man on earth. There's something mentally wrong with you. You have a mental problem. Because anyone who has any brains in their head would say, well, wait a minute. $450 million on a bond? A bond is set to secure somebody to make sure they're going to show up at the trial. Do you think Donald Trump is a flight risk? He's running for president. What's the Eighth Amendment? Can somebody please tell me what the Eighth Amendment protects against? Destroyed the Eighth Amendment with this ruling. But nobody wants to say that. They get on television, oh, no, Donald Trump, he's winning somehow. He's winning because you people are corrupt and you're showing how corrupt you are. You see, folks, I've said this since the day Donald Trump announced he would rerun for president. If the Democrats really were smart, the Democrats would have said, that's very good news for us. We beat him once, we'll obviously beat him again. We beat him fair and square. We think Joe Biden's doing a wonderful job. We think the people know that Joe Biden's doing a wonderful job. So my goodness, yes, if Donald Trump wants to run against him again, think about it. If you ran a race with somebody and you beat them, would you be worried about running against them again, especially if you've improved your speed? No, you'd say, well, that's the person I want to run against. Quite obviously, I beat him once, you beat him again. And I'm better now than I was. So if Joe Biden's done such a wonderful job and he beat the president Trump before, fairly, why are you so worried? What's to worry about? You would think that would be the person you most want. You wouldn't send your Democratic supporters out to vote for another candidate, would you? You wouldn't say, oh, open primaries, make sure you don't vote for Trump. Make sure he don't get in. I think you'd be saying make sure he does. He's going to be the easiest one to beat. We want the easiest one to beat. At the end of the day, the Democrats want the Republicans to run the candidate that's going to be easiest for them to beat, correct? I would think that's correct. So why are you trying to stop Donald Trump at all the costs if he's the one? You should be welcoming him. You should be saying, absolutely run, Donald. Absolutely. We definitely don't want Nikki Haley to win. She would be too tough to beat. No, instead you're sending out Democrats saying vote for Nikki Haley in the open primaries. Make sure it's not Donald Trump who wins. Wait a minute. I thought Donald Trump was so easy to beat. So basically what you're telling the American people is, we know Donald Trump is going to be too hard to beat. Well, what does that mean? That means that the American people want him. If he's going to be too hard to beat, that means that you think the American people want him. And you're trying to usurp their powers of the vote by saying maybe we can get somebody else in there that's easier to beat. It makes no sense. You've exposed yourselves for exactly what you are. You know, it's so funny. I can sit here and give you 10, 12 things that I'm really not in lockstep with Donald Trump over. Still the best president of my lifetime. See, because here's the problem. You're never going to like everything on the menu, no matter what restaurant you go to. You understand? There's not been a president that's come down the line that has done every single thing that somebody wanted them to do. There are things I disagreed with Donald Trump over, but they're minor compared to the good that he did. But if you talk to a Biden supporter, he's done no wrong. Everything that's wrong was Donald Trump's fault. COVID, Donald Trump's fault. Inflation, Donald Trump's fault. Border crisis, Donald Trump's fault. You have to be kidding me. The American people are not this stupid. Nobody thinks the border crisis is Donald Trump's fault when the border security literally said we didn't have anything like this under Donald Trump. Joe Biden was literally running in the primaries to be president, saying, if I become the president, you better make a run for the border because it's going to be wide open. We're going to welcome everybody. That's what he said. Remember when they used to say words matter? Donald Trump is not, he can't run away from his words. Words matter. Okay, well. Then the same holds true for Biden. Words matter. Joe Biden said, if I'm elected president, you better run for the border because it's going to be wide open. That's what he said. So do I blame the people who are running for the border? No, they were told to. They were literally told to. By your president. And now that it's a crisis, he says, never said such a thing. Not my fault. This is all Donald Trump's fault. How's this Donald Trump's fault? What world do you live in where this is Donald Trump's fault? COVID. I blame Donald Trump for one thing and one thing only with COVID, and that is listening to that weaselly little dog killer named Anthony Fauci. He should have took Fauci and threw him like a lawn dart out the window of the White House. That's what he should have done. When Fauci's emails were exposed, where he's basically telling his friends, masks aren't necessary, you can go abroad and don't worry about it, they don't really do anything. You know, those emails that were exposed that nobody ever got to see, because God forbid the American people know the truth, that Anthony Fauci literally said masks are not necessary. You know, like all the elites realized that when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Barack Obama had their big parties and nobody wore masks. Oh, except the servants. The servants wore masks. The elites didn't wear their masks. When Anthony Fauci's enjoying a baseball game, he's got no mask on. I don't need a mask. I'm Anthony Fauci. So, yeah, I think Donald Trump made a mistake there. I think Donald Trump made a mistake by palling up to Lindsey Graham. I think Lindsey Graham is a snake in the grass. There's a lot of things I can tell you that I think Donald Trump didn't do well, but here's the thing about Donald Trump. He wasn't a politician. So give the man a little bit of a learning curve, okay? He literally goes from the business world. He's the president of the damn United States. And for a guy who had a zero experience in politics, did pretty damn well, didn't he? So well that the Democrats are literally trying to take everything from him in a feeble attempt to make sure he doesn't get in again. So what does that tell you? Donald Trump didn't take a dime. in salary being the president of the United States. You paid him zero. He gave it all up. Joe Biden's not doing that. Joe Biden's looking at how can I enrich myself further? How can I enrich my family further? So we're not in a cult, folks. Mega supporters are not in a cult. The problem is we're free thinkers. See, we can get in a group of mega Republicans, and I can say Lindsey Graham's a snake in the grass and I don't like him, and another mega supporter can say he's a very staunch ally of Donald Trump, and I think he's okay, and we'll be all right. We just disagree on that. But we'll be all right. You can't. If anybody goes out of lockstep, if anybody says anything horrible about the fearless leader, destroy him. Remember when Joe Rogan was all about, I'm not a big Trump supporter, and you loved him? Now Joe Rogan is saying, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, a blind man can see that they're attempting to railroad Donald Trump. A blind man can see that this party, this Democratic Party, is no good. Oh, and now guess what's happening? Oh, he's got to go. He's got to be banned. See, they eat their own. You guys eat your own if you don't lockstep with every single thing that you're told to lockstep to. Mega Republicans don't do that. I have a lot of friends who are mega Republicans, and we disagree on several things. Okay? Look how many Republicans didn't like the fact that we got a new Speaker of the House. Turns out, this one's no better. But at the time, seemed like he might be. Couldn't do much worse, right? So we said, so there's a disagreement there. See, we have the ability to freely think. We don't have to kiss Donald Trump's ring. I know everybody thinks that's what we do, but that's not what we do at all. That's not what we do. We look at the results. And we say, I don't know, man, gas is $2 a gallon. It's damn near $4 in New York now. I don't know, a can of freaking cat food was 99 cents. It's $1.79 now. Everything's going up. And the little paltry amount that you raised wages isn't doing anything except driving businesses to drive back up the prices. People can't afford to eat. People can't afford to pay their electric bill. People can't afford to pay their car insurance. Nobody had those problems when Donald Trump was in office. So, yeah, the average common person says, I don't know, I felt like I was better off. I felt like I had more money and I was more in control of my finances than I am right now under Biden. But we're in a cult. Meanwhile, you're pumping $7, $8 gas a gallon in your car in California saying, Joe Biden, wonderful. All is great. You're in a cult. Joe can do no wrong. Joe is sharp as a tack. Yeah, while he's saying he talked to the dead president of France. I mean, at some point, you literally have to deprogram Biden supporters. Trump supporters, no. Now, I will grant you, there are some Trump supporters who go off the deep end once in a while, and you got to reel them back in. And say, come on, that's a conspiracy theory. Come on, that's a little bit. But you know what? A lot of the conspiracy theories have been proven to be true. I remember when you would get thrown off Facebook or any social media for saying Hunter Biden's laptop was real and not Russian disinformation, but it was real, wasn't it? I remember when everyone was saying, if you think the Wuhan virus came out of the Wuhan lab, you must be nuts. Well, guess what? I remember people saying, if you're not wearing a mask, the government should have the right to take away your job, take away your car, take away your livelihood. Except now the CDC has said, well, it turns out the mask probably didn't really do anything. Oh, so we're running out of conspiracy theories because all of them are being proven to be true. You see, I'd much rather be with a person who raises their hand and asks a question in the face of authority than someone who just drops to their knees and says, yes, master. You understand? And if you think for 1 minute that that doesn't describe Trump supporters, you're wrong. Because I know a lot of Trump supporters. And they ask questions all the time. Right now, I've talked to people who are saying, is Marjorie Taylor Greene making the right move here? I mean, you know, it's stirring up things right around election time. This could be a problem. We agree that Johnson's not doing a very good job, but is this the time for it? Okay, well, these are healthy political debates. Meanwhile, over on MSNBC and CNN, they're saying, how does Donald Trump get away with it every time? And they're throwing Ronna McDaniel, who's a snake in the grass, but still, they're throwing Ronna McDaniel under the bus. They hire her and then say, oh, no, we can't have a voice that doesn't lockstep with us. Fire her or we're going to protest. Oh, the inclusive left. Oh, we are so much into inclusivity. Diversity is our strength, except everything but diversity of thought. If your diversity of thought doesn't match theirs exactly, then you're gone. We can't have Ronna McDaniel on here. She might actually counterpoint some of our points. And they can't do it, folks. Here's your typical debate with a left-winger. It's a woman's body, and a woman should be able to decide when they want to have an abortion, and it doesn't matter whether it's 1 month or 9 months. Until that baby actually comes out, this is not a human being. Okay, well, is climate change real? Yes, climate change is real. And if you think it isn't, you're a science denier. Okay, well, then if I'm a science denier, and we have to believe all science, science says at the very minimum, life begins when there's a heartbeat. And a heartbeat begins long before a child is out of the womb. So obviously that's a living person then, because if you stop a heart, you kill it. So if you don't think that that's the truth, you're an idiot. You're a racist. You're a misogynist. You hate women. That's it. That's the debate. They have no answers, so they just come up with insults. Because they can't factually back up their arguments. That's the problem. When you debate somebody about this Letitia James thing, and you say, well, what about the Eighth Amendment? Well, you're an idiot. No, I'm not an idiot. I know what the Eighth Amendment says, and I know you violated it. You don't know what the Eighth Amendment says, but if you Google it, then you'll say, well, here's why it doesn't apply in this particular case. Oh, please. Please. Spare me. You see, I don't even debate many liberals anymore, and the reason behind the fact that I don't is because it's not because I can't destroy them in a debate, because I can't, and I have. It's because it just denigrates into a name-calling contest. There's nothing to be gained if I make a point and you say in return, you're just an idiot, you're just a racist, you're just a misogynist. Okay, well then, this isn't a debate. That's not a debate. A debate is when both people come with sets of facts and they bounce them back off each other and their interpretation of those facts. Not a name-calling contest, but that's all that you have. That's all that you have. So, yeah, folks, enjoy this. The left is melting down. They never had the facts on their side, never. They never had the facts on their side about COVID. They never had the facts on their side about the vaccine. They never had the facts on their side about the border. They don't have the facts on their side about abortion. They don't have the facts on their side about Ukraine. They just don't have the facts on their side. These are the people who will tell you mail-in voting is just fine and you don't even need to have a date on the envelope. What? These are the people who will tell you, oh, well, we have to have it that way because, you know, there's a lot of people, they don't have IDs. You can't have ID, ask for ID when you're voting because a lot of people don't have IDs. Well, you're the one who wants to go to a cashless society. What do you think a cashless society is going to do for these people if they don't have an ID? They can't get any kind of a credit card. They can't get anything. They don't have IDs. So your own plan, according to you, and what the standard that you've set, your own plan is racist. So right now you're trying to formulate a racist plan according to your own definition. Then they'll say, well, you know, well, if you're not a woman, you can't make any decisions about a woman's body. Okay, well, then I can just identify as a woman according to you. So anybody can do it anytime they want to. See, this is the problem. You haven't thought out any of your policies or anything. It's just, it's all based on feeling. This is the way I feel. But then when you break it down into facts, you can't handle the facts. And when you realize that your college education and all your professors who's told you you're so smart, you're so witty, you're so in tune with everything, were lying to you and you really don't know anything. You're a blithering idiot who can't decipher anything for themselves. You just have to be told what to think. And when you're confronted with why what you think is wrong, you break down and you just say, you're an idiot, because you can't think of anything to say that would counteract the point. And now we see these people screaming at the American people, you're all idiots. You're letting Donald Trump get away with things. Now, we're not idiots. And we're laughing at your misery. And the reason we're laughing at your misery is because you're the ones who tried to make us miserable. You're the ones who told us you don't matter. Your voice don't matter. What you want doesn't matter. What you need doesn't matter. Your job doesn't matter. Your relatives don't matter. Your children don't matter. Nothing matters. We'll control what your children can watch and see and do. We'll control where you can go and when you can go. We'll control what you can say and what you cannot say. We'll control how much of your money you can keep. We'll control where it goes. We'll control how we're going to elect our officials, whether it's legal or illegal. That's what you tried to do. And the American people are rejecting it. Joe Biden's numbers are in the tank. He can't win. He's not going to win. And if he does win, there will be the hugest investigation into this in the history of the United States of America, and people will go to federal prison for the rest of their lives, because it is not possible for a man with a 30% approval rating to get more votes than Donald Trump, who has 20 points higher approval rating. It's not possible. It's not possible. So they know it's not possible. So this is why they are in panic mode, and this is why they have now come to the stark realization they're not going to win. See, this was their last-ditch effort. The Letitia Jameses, the Alvin Braggs, the Jack Smith, the Fonnie Willises, these were their last hope. Throw enough of them out there, one of them is bound to stick. One of them is bound to stop Donald Trump, you know, the man who can't win, and they shouldn't be worried about. And now they're realizing it's all falling apart. None of this is going to work. None of this is going to stick, and even if some of it does stick, it ain't going to be enough. And they are in full meltdown mode now. I want you to realize something. Today, there's a wake being held for Jonathan Dillard, New York City police officer who was shot and killed on a routine stop when he approached a car that was illegally parked. Donald Trump is going to that funeral. Joe Biden is also in New York. Joe Biden's going to a celebrity fundraiser. Now, I don't care if that celebrity fundraiser was planned a year in advance or not. It's irrelevant. If Joe Biden cared, Joe Biden would say, you're going to have to excuse me for about an hour of this because I'm going. Right? He's not. Instead, they're going to send some of these Democrats who voted to defund the police, and now we're being told that the NYPD is pushing back, saying, don't come. You're not welcome here. You're the ones who caused this nonsense. It's about time, folks. The left realizes that their very tenuous grip on the American people is slipping away, that people are waking up, that people are looking at this for exactly what it is, which is a gigantic power grab for the Democratic Party and saying, no, we reject this. And for those of you who are still hanging on, saying, no, the Democratic Party is so wonderful, you are the cult, not us, not the mega Republicans. We're not a cult. We can criticize our leader. We can tell you the things we think is wrong. You can't. We can even defend your leaders when we understand that they're being wrongfully accused of something, just as I told you I did with Joe Biden. You can't. The example I gave is a good one. Joe Biden leans over to a six-year-old girl and says, "How old are you, honey?" 14. Number one, it's none of his business. And number two, that looks very perverted. But number three, he clearly knew she wasn't 14. It wasn't his dementia that caused him to think a six-year-old was 14. He was joking. But you can't, when Donald Trump says there's going to be a bloodbath, clearly meaning in the auto industry, because that's what he was talking about, you cut the tape to make it sound like he's saying, if I'm not elected, there's going to be a bloodbath. Donald Trump threatens a bloodbath in the streets. Why do you have to make things up? If Donald Trump is so horrible, and his policies were so terrible, and he's such a horrible man, why do you have to make things up to make him look bad? How come you just can't tell us the truth? How come you have to doctor tape? How come you have to change audio? How come you have to say things you know clearly are not true? Nancy Pelosi gave it away. Nancy Pelosi said, this is the way politics works. You slander somebody like this on purpose. You make something up and you send it out and merchandise it and make sure that all the news media covers it. And that's how the way politics works. No, Nancy, that's the way deception works. That's because you were the leader of the most deceptive party in the history of this country. That's the way your foul mind works. And the American people are starting to realize it. And the left are having a breakdown because they see everything that they thought was in the palm of their hands slipping away, and they just don't know how to keep it. Their only hope is to just scream louder and louder, Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad, but it's not working anymore. It's falling on deaf ears because people are going to the supermarket saying, I can't afford this anymore. People are going to the gas station saying, here goes half my salary in my gas tank. People are looking at things around the world saying, this is getting out of hand. How much more of this can we take? People are seeing the flood of illegal immigrants in their neighborhood, literally going on social media, waving handfuls of money, saying, look what we got, look what we got, while our veterans are lying underneath a bridge trying to head to a soup kitchen so they can get one meal a day. That's the country you want to live in? Vote for Joe Biden. But I got news. It's not the country the American people, for the most part, want to live in. And there's not enough people to vote for Joe Biden that's ever, ever going to make this up. You can try all of your underhanded tactics you want. You can try all your mail-in voting and your early voting and your late voting and your whatever. It's not going to work this time. It's just not. So enjoy the meltdown, folks. More to come, believe me. Because the good news, well, that's still going to keep right on pouring in. It looks as though some of these other charges are going to be dismissed on Donald Trump, and there it's going to be a breakdown, mental breakdown of the left like you've never seen in your life, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy every second.